BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Thursday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. We have Joanne Froggatt from the new film Street Cat Named Bob. Also, the winner of last night's Bake Off chooses our bangers, There's Real or No Real, and Bryan Cranston, Actual Heisenberg, comes into the show. Scott Mills, BBC Radio. And it's Mills here. You all right, Chris?
Yeah, good. Good.
So imagine your surprise when you're at the student night at Tiger Tiger in Manchester and Justin Bieber turns up and gives you a high five. That happened to quite a few people the night before last.
I know, so I've been on Twitter looking up people's videos because obviously they all upload videos of Justin Bieber like walking around and high-fiving people. And
I've decided you're like there's something going on here, like you're too obsessed.
I'm not,
it's like you're a bit in love with
him. I don't really like him.
I know, but like, so what's the obsession? Do you do it? Do you look it up to annoy you?
Maybe. Yeah, actually, that's probably what it is.
Because we've talked about this before.
Yeah, there are certain things that you'll look up. You know that they annoy you.
Yeah. So, like, let us know, by the way, if any of you do this. Like, you actually watch a video or watch a TV show.
Or go and read someone's tweets. That's often what it is.
But you do it because it annoys you and you know it annoys you.
Yeah.
But you can't stop doing it. I think that's the case here.
Done a bit more research, right? Found this article about Justin Bieber in the Manchester nightclub, right? Student night. And they, I love the way they describe this. They put, the club night, dubbed Manchester's number one midweek party, has become a celebrity hotspot recently. So I'm thinking to myself,
who?
Oh, okay, probably like Rihanna, people like that. And that's why he's ended up there. But just weeks ago, it attracted stars including Katie Price and Scotty T.
Not the same. David's got some breaking Bieber news. Hi, David.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Chris.
What's going on?
Just seen Justin Bieber and the coaches and the Star Trucks going up the M74 heading for Glasgow this morning there.
You've just seen Bieber in a bus?
Yeah, the street buses heading up the M74.
Three buses, Chris, write it down.
Right, well, how do you know it's him?
I seen him in his pyjamas. No, it was kind of dark. It was going the other way, Chris.
Was there loud Justin Bieber music coming from one of the buses or...?
Well, I play that in the truck, but no, I couldn't see anything, but I just, obviously, I trunk up and down the road every day, so you see Beyonce and I've seen all the coaches, so you're looking out from them, leaving Manchester last night, heading up to Glasgow for tomorrow.
Do you know what he is performing in Glasgow.
Are you tracking him? Well, yes, he is. That's definitely true, yes.
So you're probably right. This could be the Justin Bieber entourage there. Are you following?
No, I'm going the other way, Chris.
But how did you know it was the Justin Bieber trucks?
Because he's performing in Glasgow.
It's just the trunk every day, and you know the big coaches, they beat the street coaches that obviously tour them about, and the trucks that's leaving.
That's brilliant. So you drive around the road so much, you recognise when someone's new on the road.
Yeah, as I said.
All right. He's in Glasgow, so what I'll now do is research student nights in Glasgow to see where he probably is.
And on all the restaurants that he might go to. All right, David, good knowledge. Thank you. Love you, bye.
None. Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
That's true. Luke from Devon. Do you know what really annoys him, but he has to keep doing it? He goes on the app that rhymes with White Roof and changes the filter to highest price first, despite knowing he could never afford that house and knows it'll put him in a jealous rage every time, like for the rest of the day, but still can't stop going on the app and looking at the houses and putting highest price first. I know exactly what you mean. You just got to keep doing it. So that was David on the show there. Man sees three trucks going along the M74, thinks it might be Justin Bieber. So thanks very much to him.
It's sort of like Justin Bieber spotted news. It's almost like we need some kind of live, exciting music behind all this.
So I reckon there must be loads of places in Glasgow tonight hoping that Bieber's going to turn up.
Well, now he's turned up at the one in Manchester. I think everyone's thinking in Glasgow that he's going to appear somewhere. So look,
What have you found, Chris?
So what I've found is that they're all throwing Justin Bieber after parties, I think in the hope that that will then make him come.
Yeah.
So turn up.
Yes.
Cushion in Bath Street.
Cushion
has got Bieber's very own DJ, apparently, Tay James.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Just saying, though, Mark Off of Leeds has been on saying, how did Bieber get into student night? I used to run security at Tiger Tiger in Leeds. No student ID, no entry.
Right, the Garage in Glasgow will be playing Justin Bieber's tracks and drinks are starting from £1.
All
so
right.
He could well turn up there because the other one...
Bieber, cost cheap.
It was doubles for two or something. Lola's have got Justin Bieber after party. Bamboo.
Is Lola's the one with the really... low
ceiling.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah,
we've all DJed there.
We have.
And Bamboo Disco Badger. Bieber fans are being encouraged to go there as well, apparently.
Right, okay.
I think there's free entry with a ticket stub.
The Scott Mills Daily.
If Justin Bieber or any of his truck drivers are listening, Nicola in Motherwell wants you to know you're about to hit terrible tailbacks for roadworks. It's carnage out there on the M74 this morning, so be prepared for some delays. Travel there on BBC Radio 1.
Thanks, Scott. Stuart in Basingstoke says, we need an app like Track Santa, but with Bieber. That's exactly what I need.
That is exactly what you need.
And I would want that just to annoy me.
Right, talking of apps that change your life.
He's nothing like Santa.
Right, so you know I'm a little bit obsessed with weather, and I do sometimes just look up weather in random locations.
Yes.
But let me look at my phone, hang on a sec.
I reckon loads of other people do that.
I don't know why I do it, it's just I just want to know that it's either hotter or colder somewhere else.
Well, you know on the BBC weather app, you can only have like 8 places, I think it is, on there. So then you have the weather for those 8 places, and then if you want to find out the weather for somewhere else, you've got to delete one of those.
Yeah. So what are your favourite ones on there?
Maidenhead, Watford, Dubai.
Right.
Edinburgh.
Dubai's a good one because it's always hot.
Dubai, Edinburgh, Maidvale, Berlin.
Right, that's weird. So mine are Cardiff, Malaga, Southampton, London, Miami, LA, Dubai.
Yeah, says a lot about you, though.
That's weird.
I reckon it says a lot about anyone.
Yeah.
Which like, ones they've gone for, then.
Yeah, right. So there's a new app that I'm obsessed with that I found yesterday where it tells you the weather where you are, but also tells you what to wear for that day.
No.
Yes. So today I need to wear light overcoat and take an umbrella because it's going to rain later.
That's so good because it can look warm or sunny, but
exactly.
It can still be... Yeah, you still... If you were advising someone, you say, bring a jumper.
Yeah, so I have bought a light overcoat today because of this new app.
And was that enough?
Well, at the moment, Chris, yes, but it's 7 a.m. Do you know what I mean? Later, it might be a bit hot. I might have to take it off. So I want to know this morning if there's one like app or one thing that has actually changed your life, because this is going to change my life. I now know what I need to wear every day, wherever I am in the world, because it finds where you are and just tells you what to wear, like T-shirt, jeans, shorts. So let me know. Like, it doesn't have to be an app. It can be absolutely anything that you've recently found and you're like... Yes.
Game
this
changer.
This is the one. This has changed my life. Absolute game changer.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Oh, amazing. People are coming up with loads of things that might change my life. Like isitrainingnow.com. Don't even have to go outside anymore to see if it's raining. It tells you and tracks wherever you are.
About how do you mean? So...
Well, like you put London in or Manchester or Glasgow or Edinburgh or wherever and it's like, is it raining now?
Oh, okay, yeah, that's it's a good idea.
I mean, just look outside, maybe,
I wonder how specific it can be, though.
I don't know. 11 minutes past 7 on the Radio on Breakfast Show with Scott Mills, and good morning, Chris in Clitheroe.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, Flo, how are you?
I'm all right, sweet cheeks.
Sweet cheeks.
You started it.
I did, I'll finish it, don't you worry.
Okay, what are you doing, how old are you, please?
I'm a wagon driver, mate, I live the dream every day, and I'm 25.
That's pretty cool. So, like, generally, is it delivering stuff and what you're delivering?
Yeah, deliver, collect. It can be a range of things, so I couldn't even put my finger on it for you.
You got any big weekend plans?
That sigh is a no.
Come on.
That was a big sigh of no there, wasn't it?
I've already got my eyes on the weekend now.
Oh, aye.
Doesn't feel that far away.
Oh, in fact, I tell a lie, I have.
Go on.
I have. My missus is off to Spain for a week with parents, like, you know.
Yes.
And luckily, I mean, unfortunately, I had no holidays left.
So what's the plan, lads?
Yeah, well, I've only got a couple of friends, see, so...
Oh. That's all you need.
Cheap rounds, mate.
Cheap rounds. Right, let's play today's Real or No Real.
Japan's most popular band, Fanfare, use desktop fans for instruments instead of guitars.
Okay.
Now, I do like a bit of J-pop. Or K-pop. or T-pop.
But I've never seen fans used as instruments. I'm also not sure how you can really use them as instruments. I mean, they make a bit of a whirring noise. You can't really put anything in them because that's dangerous.
Desktop fans are rubbish, aren't they? Well, you know, yeah. Like the 2 days that it gets hot here, where I was like, I'll just get my desktop fan out. That'll cool me down. It won't.
It dries your eyes and you can't blink.
But are they good musical instruments?
All I can think is that you can sing into a fan, can't you? And it changes your voice. Chris, have you ever tried talking into a fan?
I don't know if you find them kind of things out, but I have done that, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Are you bored?
well, I didn't really pay much attention in school, and I think the fan were in school, to be honest.
So you used to talk into the fans as well?
Yeah,
it's not just me.
Know, everyone else ignored me, so I talked to a fan.
What? I'm sort of feeling a bit sorry for you. You said you've only got a couple of friends, and when you were younger, you used to talk into the fans. Everything cool?
Well, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You know, I'm a very unique person. You're like, I'm Marmite, you see.
Well, I think people you sound great. Things.
I like Marmite.
I'll tell you what, you'll do for me, Scott. You'll do for me, Flower.
Now, so do Japan's most popular band, Fanfare, use fans instead of guitars on their tracks? Real or no real, Chris?
Well, it could explain their popularity. In Japan, they love a gadget, don't they?
Mm.
So I'm sure this would be right up their street. So I'm going to say real.
Yeah, I'm going to say real as well.
It's confusing when there's two Chrises, but both saying real. Okay.
Just call me fat lad.
Call you fat lad?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it makes it easier for me if you're happy with that.
That's what I mean. Yeah, go for it.
All right. So, Chris says real, Fat Lad says real.
That one is no real.
Right. Made up. But there is a Japanese artist who turns office items into musical instruments, and he can play fans like a guitar and customise TVs to make them sound like bongos.
So he's just hitting the TV. That's not a bongo. That's not the same.
But he makes it sound like bongos.
Oh, Scott, funny that, because I've got some bongo mice right in front of me here that, look, if I just hit like this, sound like bongos.
The mice from your computer there, just the same. And next.
It's official. Coming to a cinema near you, Geordie Shore, the movie.
Right.
Bro. Do you watch Geordie Shore, fat lad?
No, I love Geordie Shore. I do love Scotty T, because he's a lad, isn't he? He was on the other day, in fact.
He was on the other day playing in the bingo, yeah.
Yeah, he was. Well, I'm gonna say that's... I'm going for real. I reckon that can happen.
Yeah, I don't think a movie is that far away, surely.
I mean, it is a very popular show, so the next step would have to be a movie.
It has to be.
But I just can't imagine it looking all that epic. You know, I think there's always a problem when TV shows become movies, because you like them as TV shows, not necessarily a very good movie.
Chris does have a very valid point. You know, like the In-Betweeners movie. It wasn't really a movie, but, you know...
You could have just watched it on TV at home, couldn't you?
I'm gonna go for real.
Fella?
Fat lad saying, I'm going to have to say no real. I can't see him reading a script fully, you know.
That one is real.
There is a film on the way. Gaz from the show was quoted as saying, there's a script already written and it'll be like The Hangover where they lose Scotty T early on.
Oh, right.
Find him with a goat.
That's the point, the script's already written. Surely that, in essence, is the problem with this whole idea.
Yeah.
I'm being moved on here, mate.
What do you mean?
You're right.
There's a guy in a Ivy's jacket moving me on.
Okay.
What, you're parked up at the moment, are you?
Yeah, I'm just going to have got to the other side of the road.
Okay. Can you just explain to him you're playing real or no real?
Well, he looks like one of those that would, rather throw a pie at me than cuddle me.
Oh, right, okay. I'm sure he'd understand.
That's the people in this world.
I'm sure he'd understand.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you move on before you get a pie in your face or whatever, and we'll pick up on real or no real after this track.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
We are playing Real or No Real with Chris in Clitheroe. I think he's moved his car. Are you ready to carry on?
I certainly am.
And finally,
the world's most expensive packet of crisps will set you back £48 and only contains 5 individual chips.
Whoa.
This sounds like a bit of a... A 5-star, 6-star hotel kind of mid-morning snack, you know what I mean?
It does sound like, you know when you see those foodie programmes, it's like, it's the most expensive burger in the world at $500.
Yeah. Oh, I like those shows.
It's like, yeah, but it's still a burger. How good can it be?
You actually saw a burger, I'll tell you, for £500.
I think it was hundreds. Yeah,
minimum,
not...
I think it was thousands.
Ridiculous.
Don't behave yourself.
I know.
You're having me on.
Mate, they will. Do you know what? Because there's always going to be someone out there who has so much money that they're willing to just spend it on something ludicrous like that.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Think of anything. There'll always be the world's most expensive version of it. Kebab, anything. I'm telling you, there'll be the world's most expensive kebab will be hundreds of pounds.
Yeah. I do love a burger, but I won't spend £500 on one.
Well, how much are they in Clitheroe these days?
Well, you got decent places. For a meal, they come. You know, you're only buying one as a meal, really. It's about £9-10.
Yeah, and what are you treating yourself there? What's the burger of choice?
Oh, I'm a bit of venison, bit of bacon on top.
Ooh.
Melted Monterey Jack. Oh, I've never met him, but I reckon he's a right fella. And a bit of relish. And I'll tell you what. I mean, I won't pay £500 for it, like, but, you know.
Yeah, I can tell you're excited. I can hear the excitement in your voice just thinking about it.
You two are like peas in a pod.
I'm turning my nose up at my banana and my protein shake now for the Indians. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I didn't expect the venison, though. That was a curveball.
Oh, yes.
And your Monty Jack.
Monterey Jack. The Monterey.
Yeah.
48 quid for a packet of crisps, and it only gets 5 crisps in the pack. Real or no real, Chris?
Do you know what? It is a ludicrous amount of money for a packet of crisps, but I reckon there is the world's most expensive anything. So I'm going to go real.
Fat lad.
Yeah. I can't see the crisp being made out of gold, so I'm not saying no real.
That one is real.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it's a Swedish brewery who has made the world's most expensive crisps, working together with the Swedish National Culinary Team. So they use rare Nordic ingredients, including Tatsukaji mushrooms, truffle seaweed, crown dill, and Leksand onion. Blooming expensive in Sweden.
I dare ask how much a pint is.
Well, it's a lot, mate. I'm telling you, I went there this year. Not much change out of a tenner.
Oh. Can you imagine?
For one pint, fat lad, what are you saying about that?
You could put any price on beer, couldn't you? Yeah. End of the day, it does make me dance like Michael Jackson, so it doesn't matter how much you pay. If I can turn into Michael Jackson after a few, I'll pay out.
At the end of that round of real or no real?
Oh, Chris, brackets fat lad, you scored absolutely nothing, and I got 20.
I'll tell you what, though, Chris, I'll give you that. Right, well, thank you very much.
Right, then.
Have a great day, mate.
Now then,
love
right.
you, bye.
Love you, bye. BBC
Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
After 8, Bryan Cranston is on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Incredible.
Heisenberg
from Breaking Bad after 8 this morning. What?
So exciting. And not just Breaking Bad, obviously. Like, Malcolm in the Middle.
Godzilla.
He's done all sorts. Like, Hollywood superstar.
And in Godzilla.
Was
actually
he?
Actually good, yeah.
See, every time we mention his name, you say a different thing he's been in.
Mm-hmm. Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Where? What, you making
I
that
don't,
up?
No, he was in it, though.
Doing what?
Just being a person. He's not always been the guy off Breaking Bad. He's probably an extra.
He's often characters you don't expect. He was probably the cat.
That awkward moment when you're playing real or no real and you fart. Listen to this. I'm sure Fat Lad did a little fart. Listen back.
But I've never seen fans used as instruments. Oh, it is there.
Isn't it?
But I've never seen fans used as instruments.
Just a little parp there. The Scott Mills Daily. Sinead, what's going on?
So, first up, Bruno Mars has called Adele a diva.
Ridiculous.
So, yeah, he gave this interview in America where he was asked about working with her for the track All I Ask, which they wrote together. And he talks about the first time they met. So he says, she walks into the studio and she's got all this attitude. She's a diva. She's like, I don't want to do this. I don't like that. But seemingly Adele pulled it back because he then goes on to say they started singing together and he says she liked that and they started rolling.
Oh, wow. Right. That sounds...
But initially...
Sounds really getting on.
Initially...
I don't like it. I'm not doing it.
What's All I Ask then? Has anyone heard this song yet?
Yeah, no, it's a lovely song that he wrote with her.
But it's not a duet. It's not...
No.
Oh, gutted.
Yeah. It was many years ago, but the last time I met Adele, she had her hair in rollers and was watching an episode of Doctors, so things have obviously changed.
Love her.
He goes on to say she's incredible. There was a moment when she was singing in the booth, and he says that the water was vibrating. I don't know if you remember the scene in Jurassic Park where the dinosaurs start, you know, appearing and the water starts vibrating. That is what he compared it to.
Not true.
What a beautiful analogy.
I know. That's the first thing that came to his mind.
It was so good, my water started vibrating.
It was like Jurassic Park.
Why is Bruno Mars now northern?
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, he's in next week.
Yeah, yes.
The Live Lounge.
Yep.
Yep.
Another man with a tiny head. Like Matt Amundsen,
Bruno,
and therefore tiny helmet.
I'm so excited
if he was to wear to ride a scooter.
Also, every performance I see of Bruno Mars, he's effortlessly cool, isn't he? The way he dances, the way he moves.
He also seems like quite a nice chap too. If you listen to any of the interviews,
he's on. Is he in Live Lounge next week? Sweet.
Yes. Okay. So moving on. So you know the beef between Katy Perry and Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like it was sort of calming down, but it's definitely not over. So it's been going on for a number of years now, a row about backing dancers and also their mutual ex-boyfriend, John Mayer.
Yeah, but he's been out with, like, everyone.
He has been out with everyone. There have been a few back and forths, but they were both spotted at Drake's 30th birthday the other night, and, there seemed to be no problems there, and I guess people kind of thought it all died down.
Well, because they didn't fight.
They didn't, but there's been no Twitter interaction and anything like that there had been before. Mm. But Katy Perry went to see Kanye West perform the other night, and she Snapchatted those Taylor Swift lyrics from his song Famous, and that's the only bit she Snapchatted. She's singing along to
it. Oh, the stuff about Taylor that Kanye wrote. Okay.
Yes. So I don't know. Is this the best way to carry on the feud? Or?
So explain this to me. They've got a problem because of a mutual ex-boyfriend.
It's more to do with the backing dancers, so I believe.
She's telling my backing dancers I don't like her anymore.
Really?
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I thought that was a joke.
What, the backing dancers?
Yeah. No, is that really what they're having an argument
over?
But people will do other jobs.
but I think, wasn't it that Katie's tour and she says that Taylor nicked all the best dancers?
No,
for her?
Other way round.
Taylor's tour. Katie nicked the best ones.
Yeah, and they both want to put on an amazing show, and I don't know, I guess Taylor wasn't too happy.
That would make me annoyed. Don't nick my dancers.
Serious?
Yes.
So anyway, that's all going on. Finally then, Niall Horan was on The Ellen Show in America promoting his new track, This Town, and Ellen made him play a game of Who Would You Rather?
Like Ellen, right? But I don't understand her. Sometimes I'm like, it looks like she can't be bothered. Have you seen that show?
Yeah.
So, hi, welcome. Hi, I'm Ellen. It's like, okay, I know that's your style, but if you could, like, smile a bit more and be a bit more into it, because you get paid millions of dollars.
That's so true, it's so true.
Hello, it's me, yeah, right. The biggest stars in the world, don't worry about it.
Not bothered, not interested. So the game, the premise being of the game, she shows him two pictures of two very famous women, and then he has to pick who he would rather be with. So it starts off with Taylor Swift and Rihanna, and he goes for Rihanna, and then a few more. But listen to when Ellie Goulding name pops up.
Diane Keaton, Ellie Goulding.
Ellie.
Ellie Goulding, Rita Ora.
Ellie.
Ellie Goulding, Jennifer Lopez.
Ellie.
Ellie Goulding, Kendall Jenner.
Ellie.
Ellie Goulding, I think she's the winner.
I think it's safe to say someone's got a bit of a crush. And he was also on James Corden as well, and they played a similar game.
Yeah.
And he went for Ellie over Selena Gomez, so... I don't know. They should date, though, didn't they?
I don't know whether
they
date it. I don't know.
She mm-hmm. said in an interview that they had a few dates.
Okay. It does feel to me, though, that it's going to be the same game on every show. It's going to be, so who would you rather, Ellie Goulding or Sharon Osbourne?
Ellie.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
I'm not going to tell you who it was who won Bake Off last night if you've not seen it, but I am about to tell you what they made. Is that a plot spoiler?
I don't know. Are you going in on the savoury one?
I'm saying it all. I mean, they deserve to win. Three-tiered pavlova filled with Prosecco-soaked strawberries, mango curd and topped with glittered pistachios.
I wasn't that fussed about any of that.
Got a handshake from Paul Hollywood, though.
The sausage roll. Is this a plot spoiler? Because I worry it's...
The sausage roll puff pastry shaped like pigs.
Fine, so you've said it. But with the crackling tail.
Yes!
Mate, bit of me. Because I'm never bothered about the cakes on Bake Off.
Well, why are you watching it then?
I'm always there just for pie week.
Not even a Victoria sponge cake with homemade jam and buttercream.
The pigs, though.
I know, the pigs were good. Showstopper. Only a 49-piece royal picnic. Celebration cake. 12 puff pastry sausage rolls shaped like pigs with a crackling tail.
Crackling tail.
12 mini salmon and asparagus quiches. 12 Manchego and olive scones and 12 rhubarb and custard tarts. Well done to whoever you are that won the bake-off. We are actually going to speak to them just after 8.30. And, lol, they're going to pick today's banger.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And good morning, Bass from Crystal Fighters.
Hello, hello.
Where are you?
I'm somewhere in the UK on a bus, a tour bus heading towards you and Radio 1.
Were you in Amsterdam last night?
We was, yeah, we were, we were. We had a show in Paradiso, amazing venue there, and it was a great night. And yeah, now we're in England.
Have you slept at all? And if so, where? Just on the bus, is it?
Yeah, on a bunk.
So was it the bus onto a ferry, or do you fly over and then join the bus there?
It was on a ferry, yeah. Dunkirk. We went to, and then we actually slept on the bus on the ferry, and then. Now we're heading to towards you.
I've done that crossing before from the Hook of Holland. Oh, and it's it's pretty rough.
My favourite phrase.
I didn't feel a thing.
No, you just sleep.
It was great.
North CC.
And are you really sensible with the bus now? I mean, there aren't any parties last night, or is it just like right time to sleep?
Yeah, usually there are some parties, but last night, in honour of our performance today, we decided to keep it real.
I love that you're being sensible because of Radio 1 Live Lounge. So you're going to be doing All Night, your track, later on. And also, from midday, can you tell us your cover, please?
Our cover is Major Lazer, Cold Water.
That's awesome.
It's an awesome track. I can't get it out of my head. It's actually quite annoying, but we can't wait to play it.
Do you love that song, yeah?
I love it, man. Yeah, it's great. It's amazingly catchy. I didn't quite realise how catchy it was until I started learning it. But yeah, it's going to be cool. We've got a sweet version going, so can't wait to play it for you.
All right, good. Right, well, get here when you can. Crystal Fighters in the live lounge from midday today. Bass, go and get some more sleep or whatever you need to do.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, see you in a bit. Bye, bye, bye.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Talking earlier about, like, apps or something that has just changed your life, like my new app for the weather, which tells you what clothes to wear.
Mm.
Today, light overcoat, and you will need an umbrella. Charlotte from Bristol's been on. This app has changed her life. It controls her kettle. So she can boil the kettle from anywhere in the house.
So I guess she can be lying in bed.
Right. Oh, I might have a cup of tea now.
Yeah, straight downstairs, it's ready.
She says, it feels so empowering. Well, because you're in bed and you can... But yeah, I get it, actually.
I saw there's an app that you can turn your shower on with, and I still don't really understand what the point of that is.
If you had one.
If I had one,
yeah. Do you have a shower yet in your house?
Nearly.
Oh, what's happening? Is there bathroom news?
Hopefully,
oh,
yeah.
Well done.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And good morning, Brian Cranston.
Good to see you.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Scott?
Very good. The level of excitement about having you in the building today is ridiculous.
No.
It is. All those people out there aren't actually doing any work. They just want to see you. Thanks for coming to see us today.
My pleasure.
Chris is so excited right now as well. He can't even look at you, look.
Yeah, it's just every now and then we have a guest on the show that obviously massive Breaking Bad fan. But then it's when you look at the other shows that you've done. So for me growing up, there were so many shows. There was Malcolm in the Middle. You were the head on Power Rangers, which is mad because I didn't even realise that until yesterday when I was obviously doing a bit of research.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm the head. I'm Zordon.
Yeah.
Right? And Power Rangers, the movie coming out next year. But when I was young... I was 22 years old starting my career, and I had an opportunity to do the voice work on the Power Rangers series. So I did the pow, wap, yo, ah, wow. Come on, let's go over here, you know, that type of thing. And I did it so many times that they named the blue Power Ranger after me. Billy Cranston is his name. And I was like, okay.
That's so good. You have had so many different jobs. You've been in so many different things. So did it take ages to write this book?
No.
No?
No. I look forward to writing it because, you know, I call it a life in parts because we all are playing parts to some degree in our lives. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a son, a brother, your neighbor, you know, and then there's all the parts in the career that I've played. So, but it wasn't. These are stories that I've been telling friends for years. And right. So sitting down, I didn't look at a blank screen and think, how am I going to fill 275 pages? I was just thinking, okay, I'm just going to tell this one story at a time, finish it, and send it on its way.
But there's so much detail in each of the stories. That's where it differs, I think, to autobiographies that we generally see. Because in the stories, the amount of detail, I just assumed that maybe you'd kept a diary or something like that.
No, but, you know, as actors, we're trusted with the sense of observation, so that's our jobs. Yeah. We go to I used to go to the mall, you know, the shopping mall with my wife, and I would sit out in the courtyard with a newspaper just below my eyes, and I'd get close to people and watch their behavior so that I can record it.
Yeah.
So we're used to observing things so that we can replicate it in our work.
You've had so many jobs as well as you're working your way up. What's the thing in the book about the dating agency of sorts?
Yeah. Well, before all those online dating services, I was employed by a company called Great Expectations, where people actually had to go into this brick and mortar store and look at profiles of men and women and, you know, a picture of them, what they do for a living, a little something about them.
Yeah.
And then I would also then record them. So Chris would come in and say, you know, I'm looking for this type of person or that. And I would say, Chris, you got to relax first. All right? We don't want, because you know, a lot of people go in and go, well, I'm really a romantic and I like to take long walks on the beach. And it's like, okay, no one believes that.
Yeah.
Let's get away from that.
You try to show their personality.
Yeah, it's just show who you really are so that someone goes, I like this guy. I want to see him.
And did you have a good success rate?
Very good. As a matter of fact, I also dated a few women from place.
Because, well, why would you not?
Perks
of the job.
You have first crack at them. Yeah.
But there must be, there are probably couples all over the place that have been set up because of you.
That's true. And yeah, that is true. There have been several matches that were made. And actually, before that, when I was 18 and 19 years old, I also became an ordained minister, and I've married couples before.
Oh, my word. There's pretty much nothing you haven't done.
Yeah, I've married couples before.
You've had hundreds of jobs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many amazing stories in this book. one of them that really, there was two that really struck me, right? There was one when you were working as a security guard,
mm-hmm.
and it was your first proper experience of meeting a Hollywood A-lister.
Yes.
So you was this in L.A.?
Yes, it was in Los Angeles, yeah. And I was given the task of guarding the back door of a large assembly hall. There was some program that was some kind of award show. And I guess I was stationed in the back because the red carpet and everything was in the front. So the only people who showed up in the back were people who were late or who didn't want any publicity at all.
Right.
And would sneak in the back door.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just standing there. I didn't really know what my responsibilities were supposed to be. But a car pulls up and the driver comes around, opens the door, and out steps Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Alfred Hitchcock.
How old were you then?
I was 18. And Alfred Hitchcock, he hurries into the back door. And I thought, okay, when he comes out, I'm going to approach him and say something. I'm just going to engage him. I may never be able to meet another Hollywood superstar like that, so I'm going to do it. And he comes out about an hour later, and I saddled up to him. His driver gave me a look as he's opening the door, and I just walked up and I said, "Did you enjoy your evening, Mr. Hitchcock?" And I'll never forget the words that he spoke to me. What he said to me will always be so impactful for the rest of my life. He looked at me and waved his arms and said, "Ah!"
What?
Yeah, it was just, I was apparently an annoyance to him, and he was not happy with me.
Oh,
just
wow.
Asking him a question. So,
is this why you're now so nice? Like when you walk into this room, you shake everyone's hand. You're so nice because you appreciate that anyone could be that guy that was you. And you expected like this amazing experience meeting someone who was a big icon to you.
Right.
And he screamed.
He was kind of dismissive.
Well, I don't understand that behavior, really. I don't really.
You must see it a lot, though.
You do. I mean, you know, we who are in the public eye, we get a lot of attention, and some of it is unwanted attention. Mm. I'll go through an airport, and if some one person recognizes me, I'll try to get like low profile. Yeah. Because if someone says, "Oh, that's Brian Goet," and can I have your picture? And can
then
I?
Everyone comes.
And then everyone comes. Yeah. And I have people coming up and going, "Who are you?" You right. know, it's like so you get that attention too, and then you have to answer that.
Yeah.
So what do you say?
What do you say?
Do you give them your resume, or I just say I'm no one. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Right.
So I try to keep as low a profile as possible, but you know when you're in the public, be kind.
Brian, as you can probably tell, I absolutely loved Breaking Bad. It was like my favorite TV show possibly ever. I'm not just saying that because you're here, but the idea for it is essentially mad. So as one of the main characters, how would you describe the story?
All we were doing is telling this simple story of a man's poor decision making. This poor guy who was very sympathetic and just trying to put one foot in front of the other and get, you know, make his way through life. And he's a special needs son and a, you know, baby on the way. And, you know, and all of a sudden it became this juggernaut of attention and quite to everyone's surprise, because you never know if something's going to be successful.
No.
You know if something is well written and it's good. But beyond that, you don't know if anything is going to really hit.
Have you seen yourself? I would imagine this is quite cool. Have you been somewhere abroad and seen yourself as Walter dubbed into another language?
Yes.
Can you remember which one?
Yes. I was in Prague. And it was, you know.
So you're in Czech.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Was the voice similar?
Yes, they find someone with a growly voice like this and sounds
that must be really weird.
Yeah.
But then you know you've gone international.
Right.
I know obviously Breaking Bad may be over, but did you get a tattoo of the show's logo? Was it on the last day of filming? Is that right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, the very last day of filming, which was in April 3rd of 2013. And so many of the guys on the crew were talking about getting tattoos to remember this experience after 6 years. So we were talking, and I said, why don't we just have a tattoo artist come to our party, our wrap party?
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to get a tattoo as well. I've never had one before. Now I do. But I had to think, how am I going to do this? Where am I going to do this? As an actor, I didn't want to have to constantly cover it up. Mm. So I have it on my hands, but you can't see it. It's there.
Oh,
so you can see
so
it
on the finger.
It's inside on the right hand of the ring finger, so that when it's closed, you see nothing.
Yeah.
And someone said, why are you doing that? Why don't you put it so where people can see it? I said, it's for me.
Yeah.
It's for me to go, oh, I remember those times. That was good.
What are your thoughts on the UK? Do you like it here?
I love it here.
Yeah.
And when I first started coming here, the food was not very good.
Nah.
When I was a teenager.
It's got better.
First game. Yeah, I was here when I was 16 or 17 at first, and it wasn't good. Now, it is absolutely world class. I mean, we went to a fish restaurant the other day with my daughter, and she was, I mean, it was so good.
Well, I mean, what were you having?
I had.
He's obsessed with what famous people. This is a thing. This
really?
Is a thing, Brian. Obsessed with what famous people eat. So if you could just tell us what you had.
I had a fillet of sole.
Oh, yeah. I knew it would be that.
With a little spinach on the side.
Is that with mash or not?
No.
Carbs.
No carbs.
No, I didn't. I didn't dig into the carbs so much.
They don't do that in Hollywood.
Not so
no,
much.
It's only mash.
It's still a carb.
It is. It's a carbohydrate.
It's definitely a potato. That.
You can drop pounds easily if you just take out the carbohydrates.
I'm not sure that's true.
It's true.
It is true. I've told you this for years.
Are you calling me a liar, Chris?
Here we go. The Heisenberg voice. Brian, I'm like totally obsessed with Heisenberg's voice. I tried to do an impression of it earlier and I really can't do it. It's like the most sinister, like threatening voice, you might say. Now, this is a random one. So the number one single at the moment is a song by Little Mix.
Little Mix,
you know,
yes.
Little Mix?
Of course.
You know that?
No, I don't know.
All right, okay, good.
But it's a boy band.
Girls. It's a girl band.
A girl band.
And their song's called Shout Out to My Ex. And what we thought is the whole song is like a message to ex-partners, but we think to one particular ex-partner of one of the group. And then we got thinking... Where
he was in One Direction, you know them?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
We then thought, if you're going to send a message to your ex, the ultimate way to send that message would be using Heisenberg from Breaking Bad. Because, right. you know, he was very good at delivering messages.
That's right.
So with that in mind, we've come up with a quite random idea that perhaps Heisenberg could read the lyrics and deliver that message.
To anyone in particular, or is this just to the general public?
We just think it's a way of delivering the words, to be honest.
I mean, you would definitely, you'd leave your ex alone, wouldn't you, after Heisenberg?
After listening to this, okay.
Yeah.
All right, yes.
Okay, so, Bryan Cranston.
Okay.
Goes into Heisenberg mode, and it's Little Mix, shout out to my ex, Breaking Bad style.
This is a shout out to my ex. Heard he in love with some other chick. Yeah. Yeah, that hurt me, I'll admit. Forget that boy, I'm over it. I hope she's getting better sex. Hope she ain't faking it like I did, babe. Took 4 long years to call it quits. Forget that boy, I'm over it. Guess I should say thank you for the hate yous and the tattoos. Oh, baby, I'm cool, by the way. Ain't sure I loved you anyway. Go ahead, babe. I'm alive for my life. My life, yeah. Shout out to my ex. You're really quite the man. You made my heart break, and that made me who I am. Here's to my ex. Hey, look at me now. Well, I'm all the way up. I swear you'll never bring me down.
Oh, my word.
That's insane.
Oh, I've gone a bit funny.
Oh, that's good.
That's a bit exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. How do you feel about those lyrics?
It's a very poignant.
Thank you. Yeah. It's not my lyrics, but yeah.
I think they are, aren't they, Scott?
Okay.
Yeah.
Bryan, thank you so much for coming to see us today. We rarely have a guest in where I'm like, let's play no music and just talk all the way through. But so thank you so much for coming
in.
It's
great to be here.
Thanks, Bryan. Thank you.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Hey, did you watch Bake Off, the final last night? If not, and you don't want to know who won, move away from Radio 1 for the next 5 minutes. And the winner is Candice. Good morning.
Morning.
What was that? It was like you'd won all over again.
You just found out.
It was. I was doing a little dance for the music.
You okay?
I'm good. How are you?
Really good. And congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, got a bit emotional last night, like it does.
Oh, I know. It did, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Do you find when you watch it, though, Scott, like that last episode, and it is a show about cakes... I found myself getting strangely emotional with it.
Yeah. Our producer, Candice, actually wept. Yeah. He wept last night.
Oh, I hope you gave him some tissue.
Well, I wasn't there with him. We don't live together. But, the montage at the end where it's like what everyone's up to is... Because it's a show about people as well, and you get to know everyone, and you feel like you know them as a mate, don't you?
Yeah, and you know what? We are such good friends, so... Yeah, and just seeing all those little bits are brilliant. Because you're like, oh, Rav and old Foul. Yeah, no, it's brilliant.
I really hope there's a group WhatsApp.
We have got the best group WhatsApp.
Oh, imagine being part of that.
What's the name of the
so
group?
So much fun.
You just send each other recipes or what?
Yeah, that's all we do is talk about cake.
Yeah, what's the name of the group?
I don't know. I think it might be Baker's Uncensored.
Awesome. That's what I want.
So like, it is one of those things like where you know you come together with people you'd never met before, you would probably never meet, and actually become really good friends with them, right?
Yeah, totally. They are just all amazing. We laughed from the moment we met until we're still laughing now. We get on really, really well. They are a really good bunch.
Well, I was interested in the montage last night. Is it Val's off to Ayia Napa? What's she doing there, raving it up?
We're all going to go and rave it up in Ayia Napa. Val's leading. She's got a glow stick.
So why Ayia Napa?
I don't know. That's... It just got mentioned, and yeah, I think that was what it. I think that's what it went with.
It's like Val is now going to stir her food with love in Ayanapa. What do you mean?
Yeah.
are you going on holiday with that a lot soon?
Oh, we talk about it all the time. I mean, we're quite lucky in that we do get to sort of meet up quite often, but we said, oh, it'd be really fun to go away all together, and we were laughing and joking about sort of going away, and we said, could you imagine this all in Ayanapa? And I don't even know who mentioned that, but yeah, I think that'd be so much fun.
Bake Off on tour?
Bake Off on tour. I'll have to have one of them little cameras on my head to make sure I catch it all.
Have you found it strange watching the show and then finding more and more that people recognise you and... actually see how popular you are, because you are really popular?
Oh, that's really nice. It has been weird. I mean, the first episode, I had to go and stand in the garden because my own voice was just going right through me. I thought, oh, God.
Well, you didn't like the sound of your voice?
No, it's awful. So goodness knows what I sound like.
Sound fine to me,
I'm ruining everyone's morning with my dulcet tones.
No, you're not. Can I just say, fair play, 12 puff pastry sausage rolls shaped like pigs with a crackling tail.
A crackling tail, I know.
Was this genuinely your recipe, or did you rob it off someone? Because what I'm saying is you could sell these things.
Like, I could sell them. You could be onto something there, Chris. You could be onto something.
I mean, maybe we should invest. No. Maybe get you straight to Dragon's Den now.
It's probably too late. The cookbooks have already been signed for, I reckon.
Is it? Is that how it works? Have you got all the books coming out now?
All the books. I have to learn to spell first. No. I don't know what's going to happen in the next little while. I'm not sure what's happening in the next half an hour, let alone book-wise. But, yeah.
Do you know, I'm also a massive fan of the three-tiered pavlova.
The three-tiered pavlova, I know. It was pretty spectacular, so good, wasn't it?
Well, listen, well done again. Where were you last night? Where did you watch the show? Because I know it was recorded ages ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, but people might have noticed that Selassie throws one hell of a little get-together. So we were really lucky we went over there with the other bakers and friends and family. So all round
to Selassie's house, was it?
Yeah, all round to Selassie's. He does all the parties.
It's so nice to hear that how you see it on the show is exactly what it seems to be between you guys. I think it's all been in such amazing spirit.
Yeah, it really, really is. And we get on so well, and we still get on brilliantly. And I genuinely look forward to seeing them all. So it was so lovely to sort of see them all yesterday and last night. And we just had a real giggle. And we know each other now. And we know, and we sort of say, when you see it on the telly, we go, oh, that's when that happened. And we all sort of laugh. And yeah, it was really, really good.
Do you know, you've been on Inuna Bingo so many times this series.
I've heard, and it's like my brother's most favourite thing. So he'd be like, you're on it again. I'd be like, no.
There you are.
Candice, will you bring up your gingerbread story, please? Do you need a hand, love?
Yeah, can you come and grab my jugs, please?
Classic.
And here's what happened when you made an actual pub out of cake.
There's my brother at the pool table, my mum and dad behind the bar.
I think the idea is fantastic. And even down to the sticky ginger cake carpet.
Who wants to eat some carpet?
I'll eat a bit of carpet.
Of course you will, Mary.
Of course you will.
Right.
Oh, hey, Mary, listen. I love her.
I know. Oh, do you want us to be your gran, or is she kind of your gran now anyway?
I'd like to think she is already.
Hey, listen, Candice, before you go, I want you to pick one of our bangers today.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
So we do this every day where me and Chris pick a song each. We both believe them to be the best song ever, but you get to decide which one gets played on Radio 1 next, all right?
Okay,
so here's my one today. Gwen Stefani, The Sweet Escape. Sweet like cakes, escape.
Good song.
I picked this before and I was robbed. It didn't get picked. So pick me today, please, Candice.
Well, Candice, I got robbed with this choice. It's the perfect song to bake to. DJ Snake, Turn Down For What? Just imagine this, you and Val.
It's not very big.
Ayanapa, baking away.
Go on, Val. Shut.
Favourite
song, this one.
Oh, I've just got visions of Val now.
Shut.
Oh, do you know what? As lovely as I think DJ Snake would look in lipstick, Gwen looks so much better.
Yeah, thanks. I'll take that as a me then, right?
Yeah, it's you.
Did you see that there were bookies last night betting on what lipstick you'd be wearing last night?
No way.
Yes, there were. What lipstick are you wearing today, please? Because I know it's your thing.
Currently, I am in bed wake-up lipstick, so that is pretty much nothing. But I'm gonna have a little look through my collection and decide.
Okay, so what colour will it be? Because I know the bookies are banking on this.
On today?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I might go.
Go green. Go green.
Should I go green?
Yeah, that sounds different.
Good.
There we are. So the answer is green, everyone.
Green, everyone.
Candice, well done again.
Thank you.
Love you, bye. Here's your song, Gwen Stefani. I'll give you all of the change in my wallet right now if you can tell me the massive ho that's on that song with Gwen Stefani.
Is it... What were the assistants called? The girls?
Not the Harajuku girls.
The Harajuku girls. Did you say all the money in your wallet?
No. All of the change.
I didn't know you carry change, to be honest.
Not very often.
I don't know.
76p on this.
Help?
No,
one's helping me.
Akon.
No,
Akon. Oh! That was Gwen Stefani and The Sweet Escape. I get to keep the 76p. Thanks, Candice, for coming on.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning, Joanne Froggatt. Or can I call you Joe?
You can call me Joe. Good morning, Scott.
How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Really good. So me and Chris went to see your film, A Street Cat Named Bob, the other night, and I thought it was so sweet.
Oh, thank you. I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud to be a part of it.
I think it's...
You know, it's quite a serious subject matter in places, but it's also got a real sense of humour about it.
So it's based on a true story. Now, before we went into the cinema the other day to see it, I explained this to Chris. So... In a nutshell, it's about a busker in London called James who has a bad time, turns his life around after he makes friends
with a ginger cat. But then when you watch it, and genuinely not just saying this, it's so good and it makes you feel really good watching it.
Yeah.
But also, it's quite emotional at times.
Yeah.
And also, because you're James's counsellor who kind of helps him through, helps him get back on his feet, Val.
Yes.
And I think it was... In the film, I think it was your friendship with James that actually maybe made me have a small water situation in my eye at one point.
Oh, that's very nice. I'm very pleased. Well, it's nice because she's, you know, she's his support system and also his sort of like tough love as well.
Yeah, when he messes up.
Yeah, she's his kick back to reality, if you like. So it's a really nice character to play because of that. And... you know, and then he basically turns his life around because, yeah, as you say, he meets this cat. But the underlying reason for it is that he's needed by something, by somebody, and he has a responsibility to this being to look after it and take care of it.
I like it that it's based on a true story as well. So basically, this cat just turns up. It's a stray in his accommodation that he's in. And then it just doesn't leave. And it doesn't leave his side. Ends up going on the bus with him and spends a lot of time on his shoulders, which I've never seen a cat do before.
Honestly, because the real James and the real Bob were on set every day.
By the time
I started, yeah. And
so when we see... The cat on the shoulders, did that happen or is that put in afterwards, like CGI?
No, it happens, yeah. And so James actually taught Bob to walk along Luke Treadaway's shoulders, who plays James in the film rather brilliantly. So Luke got very close to Bob the cat as well, yeah.
So also another question we had, and we were like whispering to each other during the film, I was like, Is that the actual cat, Bob, in the film?
Mostly it is. The trained cats that we had didn't really want to do what they were supposed to do, whereas right. Bob, also that the cats that we had are stunt cats. When there was scenes such as them busking in Covent Garden, which they did for real,
yeah.
there's a lot of stimulus, there's a lot of people, a lot of noise, and the cats sort of freaked out, didn't like it. They wouldn't be there. And obviously you can't, you know, you've got to be very careful with the animals. There's very strict rules about what they're allowed and not allowed to do. And Bob was the only cat that was really chilled and totally fine with it, because that had been his life.
Yeah, because he knew what to do, yeah.
Yeah, so very quickly the producer sort of went, I think we should just get the real Bob. So basically he is the star of his own film.
Yeah, that changes things for me. That's even brilliant. Better.
Because I thought it was like some actor cat, like, darling, I've worked in 30 years in the business. But then
I was a Bond villain.
Exactly, yeah. But then it's like, oh, they used actual Bob.
Yeah, actual
mostly.
Bob.
When I heard about this story, I was talking to one of my friends, and she was like, "Don't you remember? There's a pub on Goode Street in London, and I'm sure maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, she was like, I'm sure we saw James and Bob then, and that probably could be true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, every you chance. Don't see that many men with cats on their
no,
shoulders.
No, if it was a ginger Tom and a guy with a cat on his shoulders, I reckon it will but probably have been them.
It does exciting. Make you think, doesn't it? Because you see how many people walk past James. Just because, you know, he's homeless, he might be busking, and yeah, sure, they stopped sometimes. But I mean, that's what I found quite sad about it, in a way, is that this guy has now written a book, he's done so well, but at the time, everyone's just passing him by, and, you know, he wasn't very special then.
Well, Luke Treadaway, who, as I say, brilliantly plays James in the movie, as part of his research, him and James went and slept out for the night in London and busked together, because Luke plays guitar and sings for real in the movie as well. And he said his overwhelming sort of thing that he got from that was basically just the feeling of being ignored by people. And I just thought, God, that makes me feel so sad that, you know, it's just that feeling of being insignificant, you know.
But going back to what you were saying, Scott, I reckon so many people must have just walked past him.
Yeah, all the time.
There'll be people that listen to this right now that most probably walked past him and just didn't realise.
And I was talking, I did an interview with The Big Issue the other day about this film, and the journalist that interviewed me for that was saying a lot of the Big Issue sellers say, you know, the worst thing is sort of being ignored. They're quite happy, you know, they don't mind if somebody doesn't want to buy a Big Issue, hasn't got the cash, but just, you know, just to be polite and say hello and not be ignored, it doesn't cost anything, and it's just, you know.
Tell you what, Joe, it's a bit different to Downton, isn't it?
It is a bit, yeah. No nice cats in Downton.
Bit of variety, no cats.
Yeah.
Which must have made filming a lot quicker.
Yes, it was.
I want to know where you keep your Golden Globe.
Well,
which you got for Best Supporting Actress in Downton.
Yes, I did. I keep it on my windowsill in our sort of breakfast room area.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You've got a Golden Globe.
I know, isn't it funny
isn't
when you
great?
Say it out loud? I know, isn't it amazing?
Does it take much maintenance?
No, it doesn't actually.
Are you worried that people will see it there on the windowsill and be like, oh?
They probably think it. They probably just wouldn't think it was a golf trophy or something, wouldn't they? They wouldn't imagine it be like being there. But yes, no, it's. I'm very proud of it, and very, very happy moment.
Do you miss the Downton crew?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do, but then we see each other quite a bit and we all keep in touch. So,
tell me there's a Downton WhatsApp group.
Well, there isn't a Downton WhatsApp group, but there are quite a few email chains going on between lots of us and all of us. So we're very supportive of each other. And I've just been emailing with everybody literally this week. So
why is that? Christmas catch-up or something?
Yeah.
I mean, those
emails,
party.
But those emails go round now, don't they? And WhatsApp messages, because you've got to organise Christmas. Like for me, it's catching up with old uni friends, home friends. You start to have to put stuff in the diary.
Yeah.
So I assume that must be the same.
Well, that's
with
it.
Your work
colleagues. We're all trying to sort of work out when we can get together when we're all in the same country.
Trying to nail down Dame Maggie takes some time, doesn't it?
Oh, goodness, it does.
Joanne, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And go and see A Street Cat Named Bob, because it's really good. It's a cute film. Thanks so much, Joe.
Pleasure, thank you.
The Scott Mills Daily.
That video is flying of Bryan Cranston, actual Heisenberg, reciting Little Mix's Shout Out to My Ex. It's on Radio 1, Twitter and Facebook.
Shout out to my ex. You're really quite the man. You made my heart break, and that made me who I am. Here's to my ex. Hey, look at me now. Well, I'm all the way up. I swear you'll never bring me down.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to get that put to music by tomorrow, Scott.
Oh, yeah, okay. bit slow for the actual song, isn't it?
Maybe we make a new arrangement. Arrangement.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Maybe with the BBC.
Leave it with me.
BBC Philharmonic Orchestra. Or something. Yeah. We can sort that out. Tomorrow on the show, massive announcement about the BBC Music Awards, and your next tape will be provided by Professor Green tomorrow morning. Clara's next. Crystal Fighters are in the live lounge. What are you holding, please, Clara? What are you doing?
Well, I've walked into the studio with a copy of Scott Mills' autobiography called Love You Bye.
Why? My at the 99p store.
You know what? True stories, okay?
Go on.
And I say this with no shade nor love.
Okay.
I did get this from a charity shop.
Oh!
But I read it in a day because it was an enthralling read, and I was telling somebody called Joe.
There was lots of pictures.
The pictures are good, but I'm lending it to someone. I think it was about a couple of quid.
Yeah. You can get it cheaper than that.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Tomorrow morning we're back in for Grimmy, and at 9:30 there will be a next tape provided by Professor Green.
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.